is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Dr. Clancy Seymour with my co-host, the one and only, my Pan-American brother, Dr. Victor Ramsey. How are you, my friend?
I am doing terrific. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's the right now, it's the beginning of November for our listeners. So it's always an exciting time. The weather is certainly changing.
It's awesome. Who would have thought I'd be doing
outside,
gardening?
The leaves are changing colors. It's a, you know, a new year, but it's also an enjoyable time.
Yes, indeed. And I'm doing gardening in November all the way down here in Brooklyn, New York. So that's why I'm to everyone. Salutes fantastic. And greetings from Brooklyn. Yes.
That's great. That's great. Well,
awesome.
Well, welcome to the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast. And today is the first of three shows where we invite current undergraduate and graduate teacher candidate in the physical and health education program from Canisius College alongside some special guests during their student teaching. More on that in a second. We also invite mentor teachers and university supervisors when appropriate. All guests have been asked to review questions, topics, or relevant journal articles ahead of time to help with the discussion. So as a special treat for our listeners today, we have also invited PEAT faculty and teachers from SUNY Cortland. Dr. Ramsey, this is exciting. I could not be more thrilled to start with Dr. Matt Madden.
And can't wait.
So brought with him Ms. Helene Schmidt and Ms. Amy Brown, is it? Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so without further ado, Dr. Madden arrived to SUNY Cortland in the fall of 2012. He's originally from Central California. He has previous experience teaching undergraduate and graduate level physical education pedagogy courses. Currently the physical education department chair at SUNY Cortland. And Dr. Madden is a father, teacher, coach, and scholar. A great one at that too. His research interests center around curriculum change, teacher development, and student teaching supervision. Welcome, Dr. Madden. Any quick hello to the audience?
Thank you very much, Dr. Seymour. It's a real pleasure to be here. I know that listeners can't see all the smiling faces, but I'm really excited to be a part of this group. So thank you.
That's great. That's great. We're happy to have you. Okay, so accompanying Dr. Madden is Ms. Helene Schmidt, and Ms. Schmidt arrived at SUNY Cortland in the fall of 2015. She's originally from Brooklyn, New York, where she taught
for
9 years. Yes, yes, Brooklyn, New York, Dr. Ramsey.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln High School in Coney Island. There you go.
Powerhouse in basketball. Powerhouse, indeed. A lot of Lance Stevens in the NBA came out of there.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And so she moved up to Central New York area, starting her career as a college instructor. Currently, on top of teaching, Mrs. Schmidt is also the academic advising and PEAT coordinator for the PE department at Cortland. When she's not teaching, advising, or coordinating, she enjoys biking, yoga, and spending time with her three rescue pups and husband. So very exciting to have Helene. She's about to join us any moment, and we'll have her say hello when we're here as well. And then we also have Ms. Jamie Brown, who is a university supervisor for SUNY Cortland with a bevy of experiences K through 12. Ms. Brown, would you like to say hello to the audience?
Hello, everybody from Cortland. I actually reside in Cortland and supervise local area schools. So
again,
thank you for joining us.
Ms. Brown has forgotten most people would love to know when it comes to the PE profession, indeed. And we're very lucky to have you, Ms. Brown. Thank you for joining us. Again, our listeners can't see us all on the screen here, but we're all doing this virtually, recording this podcast today. And when we introduced Miss Brown, everybody started clapping and doing finger snaps. So we're being lucky to have Miss Brown here today. So awesome. Thank you for joining us. So let's keep going here. So today we'll be chatting about a 2018 article entitled "A Clinically Rich Model in Physical Education, Teacher Education," written by yours truly alongside co-authors Drs. Don Lee and Lindauer, and published in the journal called The Physical Educator. And so what we're going to chat about is this particular model that we talk about in the article alongside what student teaching looks like currently and what could be possibly improved on as we move forward in PEAT programs. So having read the article and many having completed nearly 2 months of student teaching, our teacher candidates here today on the show, let's share your thoughts. But to help our listeners, you may also want to mention what perspective you are speaking from. A teacher candidate completing student teaching, or a mentor teacher, or in fact, a university supervisor, if applicable.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. I would like to get started with a question. And this question, again, is open for any and everyone. And I would like to maybe focus primarily on Dr. Madden's thoughts and then see anyone else can chime in afterwards. So how could you explain to our listeners what makes Cortland and Kenesha's teacher education programs unique? What's unique about these programs? And I just want to share real briefly before we continue is that this article was fascinating. I learned some new stuff today, and I am truly thankful for that opportunity. I made some amazing notes that I think that will help me in the process of becoming even a better clinical supervisor. So thank you for this article. So again, what makes Kenesha's and Cortland teacher education programs unique? Dr. Madden?
Hi, this is Dr. Madden, Department Chair, SUNY Cortland Physical Education. First and foremost, I would be remiss if I didn't say what makes us unique is our student population. So the folks that come to us as transfer students, as first-year students, the diversity in which the student population from across the state, across the region, and in some instances from different parts of the world or at least the U.S., and Canada is what makes us unique. And when I say diversity, it stems from our critical mass of teacher candidates. So we have in any given semester 100 student teachers roughly out in the field across the state. And so that is supervised by on average 25 supervising teachers, as Ms. Brown. Anywhere from Long Island to Buffalo and everywhere in between. So we're in Plattsburgh, and it's giant. And so the uniqueness from our students in working in the schools is that we have quite the presence, and that starts pretty early. So as the article points out, we have a practicum model here. Like a lot of groups do across the state. So teacher candidates must be in schools up to 100 hours in different spots of the curriculum, starting as early as their third semester. So their first semester, sophomore year, if they come here as a first year student in some after school programming, et cetera. And that builds up all the way to working in local schools in elementary placements, leading into what I think is the most accelerated portion or the most exciting and extreme learning curve in any given PEAT program, and that's student teaching. And so we all are speaking with students that even before the pandemic have what I think is the most exciting, challenging, and positive impact they have going through a program.
This is great to hear, because as we speak, and for those of you who may not notice, I work currently in the New York City Department of Education Office of School Wellness Programs, and we have working with us as we speak three amazing alumni from Cortland State, and they are amazing. They are mentors. They are they conduct professional learning opportunities. They support teachers. I mean, and just bring a flavor of knowledge and expertise. And I'm proud to say that I'm honored to be their colleague. And they are alumnus again from Cortland State. So thank you, Dr. Madden. Dr. Simo, what do you have to say about Canisius? What makes your program unique?
Well, thanks, Dr. Ramsey, and thanks for your kind words about the article. Indeed, it was a pleasure to take part in the experience and the study, and we're certainly proud of the fruits of our labor, indeed. And thanks for the kind words from Dr. Madden. I couldn't agree more and echo his sentiments about Cortland. Certainly, the Cortland PE program has been around for a very long time, and its reputation is second to none. And I agree in many cases with Dr. Madden's sentiments, you know, about our students and what they bring to the table to allow our programs to thrive and succeed. You know, I would add, you know, it's equally impressive that Cortland sends student teachers from afar around the state to do their student teaching. That's something that we don't typically do in our Canisius PE program. We keep our students much more generally in-house. We do have some out of area students, but generally as a matter of practice, we keep them in-house. So again, speaking to Dr. Madden, kudos to him. I think that's a really cool model. And in our case, you know, what the article speaks to is the additional layer that Dr. Madden alluded to, the practicum experience that I think we're pretty proud of. And that's, you know, the early field experiences that take place, and whether it's the early part of the sophomore year or the beginning of a graduate PEAT program, and then the penultimate semester, leading up to that penultimate semester, the second last semester, where they have that student teaching, that mirrored or simulated student teaching, but not quite student teaching, that we call the practicum. And the whole idea behind that is to kind of mirror a residency model that you see in the medical industry, and the idea that you can student teach at a school for almost a year, which we're seeing that the longer the student teaching experience when it comes to teacher education, the better when it comes to teacher candidate induction into the profession itself.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I you had me staring all these ideas as I was reading the article, and I thought about it. We'll get to the article in a bit, but I thank you for sharing that. In fact, I heard you say that you have opportunities. It's sort of like in-house, and Dr. Mann talked about experiences of students going elsewhere. I would love for one day having the opportunity to collaborate with both of your institutions and bring a contingency of students down here in our urban setting and see how our schools are functioning and how we do our work down here as far as phys ed is concerned, health and physical education. In fact, we had a collaboration with Texas A&M University at one point, brought a group of students for about 4 or 5 years, and they came, spent time with students down here, and it was a great experience. So in reading this, I thought about all these experiences that I've been through. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, and one thing Dr. Madden talked about, the size of his cohorts, and he has a program. And again, kudos to him and Ms. Brown for managing. And ours is a little smaller. We have generally typically 15 to 20 students a semester that we send out student teaching. So that generally ranges between 80 to 100 students in the program itself. So that's kind of some of the differences, distinctions, but that's certainly how we would certainly distinguish ourselves from other programs.
Right, it's very impressive numbers.
Yeah, so I'm interested to hear from our teacher candidates.
Yes, indeed. I want to hear
from think about Cortland or Canisius and what makes either program unique and distinct. We have Casey raising her hand. Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, hi, everyone. My name's Casey. I'm a student teaching candidate over at Cortland. I'm currently in my one and only placement, which is at a elementary school, actually right around the corner from Cortland. I am living here on campus because I'm an out-of-state student, which is pretty neat and an interesting experience in and of itself, which Cortland actually has been helping me work through because I am planning on trying to go back to teach in New Jersey at some point. So it's a little bit different, but I gotta say what makes Cortland like very unique is it's very adaptable. And I, you know, we witnessed that, especially with COVID and everything going on, even though we couldn't actually get in to see our students for some of our experiences, they adapted it. We had to work and teach our peers, and it's got a lot of hands-on practices. Even in our one credit activity classes, they have us teaching, reinforcing how we have to use our cues and how to plan our lessons. And every class is pretty adamant about following the same type of structure. So going into student teaching, it was definitely a lot easier. And it made me more of an adaptable person because, like I said, COVID is very unpredictable. And if I've gotten anything, which I've gotten a lot from Cortland, it's the adaptability and being able to change quickly and still keep that program going and it still being progressional and making sure that you're hitting everything that you need to, regardless of the circumstances. So I definitely think that is what makes Cortland pretty unique.
Casey, what I'm hearing is that you're saying that in spite of COVID and all any type of challenges, what I'm hearing that you're talking about is the authenticity of what you are maintaining, the authenticity of the program and what it has to offer to students. And we thank you for your work that you're doing and congratulations on that placement and best wishes to you.
Thanks, Casey.
Anyone else?
Very good. And one thing I want to add, and I hope my teacher candidates in the room are listening, but Casey kind of nailed it. Prepare for the unexpected when you least expect it, right? I love it. Really, really poignant. Excellent points, Casey. Thank you for sharing. Okay, how about someone else? I think Jay has her hand up. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jay, and I'm a transfer student from SUNY Dutchess, and I came to SUNY Cortland in fall 2019. I'm currently a student teacher. I live in Cortland, but I student teach at an elementary school in Ithaca. So I commute every day, and I really love it, actually. But what I think makes being a teacher, the Cortland program different is that it really helps shift my perspective about the importance of outdoor education, because it requires outdoor adventure activities as one of the classes. And it really helped me build characteristics like trust with other people, build connections with my peers, leadership and followership. And also SUNY Cortland requires us to all go to Racket Lake. And I had the opportunity to do that this summer. And we learned how to use maps properly and shoot bearings and cook outside and set tents and canoe and hike for long distances and weather that is unpredictable. Just like Casey said, with adaptability, it's really hard. And there are people out there that don't have the opportunity. They don't have a choice to live their lives like that. So I'm just grateful that we had the opportunity to prepare and be educated on how to do that by our professors. And it really changed me, and it educated me on a different level because I got to build connections with my professors and people that are really involved in SUNY Cortland. I didn't think I could do it, honestly, because it was such a different experience. But at the end, I just felt really accomplished. And I hope to help other students that I have encounters with in middle school or high school, maybe even elementary one day, learn what I did at SUNY Cortland in Racket Lake. And it also helps to stand out when we're applying for jobs as well, because I don't think many other colleges offer Racket Lake or outdoor experiences. So I think that's what makes SUNY Cortland unique and stand out for me.
Outstanding. And you know what's fascinating there, Jay, that my colleague passed me this book, and for the listeners, is a book on adventure curriculum and physical education that he is reviewing as we speak. And here you are talking adventure. So it's just ironic. I had to tell him, pass me that book. I have to let you see this. But thank you so much for sharing that experience that you're having at Cortland. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing, and best wishes to you. Anything, Dr. Clancy, you want to share?
Jay, I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and I can feel your passion.
Yes.
Thank you.
In your words, it's fantastic. Okay, so let's move on. I think we have Derek who wants to add to the conversation. Go ahead, Derek.
And Jenna as well, have her hands up.
Yes,
as well.
Jenna will go after Jenna, Derek. Yeah. Yes. I'm not hearing Derek right now. Are we hearing Derek?
Oh, can't hear him. Jenna, you want to go?
Yeah, go ahead, meantime? Jenna, and then go Derek ahead, Jenna. Try to figure that out.
Hello? Jenna.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, okay. Does he want me to go? Okay, I'll go.
Okay, go, Jenna. Thank you.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Jenna Piro. I'm a transfer student at SUNY Cortland. I transferred fall 2019. I went to Suffolk County Community College, which is on Long Island. And currently, I student teach here at Cortland Junior Senior High School. So there, I think there's a lot of things that make the teacher education program here unique. So one of the main things I feel like is that it's a good environment to learn, as far as like all the things we have, like our student life center, the pool, the ice arena, dance studio, gymnastics, rope course, climbing wall, and like the list can just go on and on. And I think that a lot of the activity classes we have taken have been really helpful. Like, for example, the racket class we took is really helping me now because I'm getting into my badminton unit. So I have like all these books and resources that can really just help me out while I'm trying to teach this now.
Great stuff, Jenna. Thank you.
Yes.
I love it. You know, Jenna's reference to some of those early teaching physical activity courses and content, that's critical. You know, as we try to change PE landscapes in the K-12 sphere, we have to think of, Dr. Madden can attest to this, the PCK, the pedagogical content knowledge. And if we want to see different models of physical education deployed, our teacher candidates have to have adequate PCK to be able to deploy those models comfortably. So
absolutely.
Sharing that, Jenna.
Yeah, indeed. And when mentioning racket, you're thinking about transferring skills, striking skills and other skills related to rackets in other sports and other activities. So thank you, Jenna, once again. Outstanding. Thank you. Derek, are you ready for us, Derek?
I'm ready. Hopefully my technology is as well. Hello.
It's great. It's great.
Good to be here. My name is Derek Eisler. I'm a graduate student here at Canisius College in my last semester. We've all finally made it. So great to virtually see you all.
Congratulations.
I had the pleasure of student teaching at Sweet Home Middle School. Well, what makes Canisius College so in my career, in fact, realized I could do it forever. It just didn't give me the feel that I wanted. So the ease of transition, going back to college, having to navigate that, was very nice. Buffalo State College to Canisius, and the advisory that I had, that process was fantastic. Second is our close connection to New York State Aford. Obviously, having Dr. Seymour, I'll brag about him for him. It's very nice to have a nice connection and a nice close contact to New York State Aford, our professional association. Not to mention all the number of professors that we're able to have at Canisius College, including the famous Dr. Reeds. Very many great courses over at Canisius College that I've had the pleasure of taking. I know my classmates in this chat as well. We shared that experience together, and just so many different connections we've made and experiences we've had along the way has really, every single day, I've realized that this journey was the right one and that the pathway that I'm on is the right one. So very fortunate. I continue to recommend it to my own family and friends that Canisius College for me was the right choice. You know, obviously I didn't have the opportunity to go through different colleges. I'm sure they're very great, but I'm very thankful to be at Canisius College and my experience in class.
Wow, that's a testament of the collaboration and work that you are doing and the support that you're receiving there. And you speak like someone ready to begin teaching. And then if you decide to come to New York City, please feel free to come down and we'll hire you down here. And we have openings down here. So best wishes again to you, my friend.
Well said, Dr. Seymour.
Dr. Seymour.
Well said. Thanks, Derek, for your kind words. Appreciated it. Okay, so I think the next teacher candidate, this is a popular topic. I love it, Dr. Ramsey. We got a very boisterous panel today. I love it. We have Jess, I believe. Jess?
Hi, my name is Jess Miller. I have gone to Cortland all 4 years, and I am currently at Broughton Junior Senior High School for my placement. I think what makes Cortland's phys ed program unique is the experience that you're given throughout, whether it is the pre-K experience when you're like a sophomore, junior, to when you're an upperclassman teaching your peers and then to the student teaching experience, as well as like Dr. Madden touched on in the beginning, going in the after school program within the Cortland schools around us is also very beneficial. And then going off of what Jenna said as well, the activities courses that we have to take here and the work that's given with them also is very beneficial, because I think it allows us to build our skill level even more, or kind of go back to a skill we might not have practiced in a while and be able to get better at it, so then we can teach it to our students, whether it is the sport we love the most or the one we struggle with. I think the skill development and everything throughout the 4 years here has definitely been beneficial.
Yeah, I want to add something. You said something that stood out for me. You talk about after school, so that's an extension of the phys ed program and the experiences that you're garnering, gathering with community-based organizations, which is essential, because when we're talking about extending the skills that we want our students to have beyond the school, this is an opportunity for us to reemphasize that and or be part of the extended community. In other words, in the event that you have to write a grant to bring in some type of funding or support from the community at large, this is a great opportunity for you to share this as well. In fact, some of the questions we ask our candidates while screening is, what is your take on building that community approach to comprehensive school health and wellness? And this is something that is important for us to know. And thank you for mentioning that, share that. Thank you, and best wishes, congrats.
Yeah, let's go with Adam next, I believe.
Hello, everyone. I'm Adam Prelli. I am in my last semester at Canisius College. I'm doing my second placement at, I'm in a Buffalo public school. So I started out at Star Point. It's more of a suburban rural area. And then I went to a Buffalo public school. So a little bit different, but I like either way. But what's so unique about Canisius, and I got a little taste of both this, is I actually did start out at Cortland. Dr. Madden was my advisor for a year. I don't know if he remembers or not. But my freshman year, I started out at Cortland, and I thought it was very unique and interesting that they decided to do the activity course. I know that the other Cortland students also talked about this. I found that to be very cool to touch up on skills and to learn them. I think that Canisius is very unique in the sense of that, that we do some the health along with PE. So I think that's a good idea, because I think that gives us almost, I wouldn't say like an advantage, but when it comes on to a form of when we're applying for a job, I think that looks really good, because we have a health certification as well as a PE certification. But Cortland had the activity courses, which I found to be very interesting, and Canisius had some activity courses as well, but not as much as I would say Cortland did. But both obviously are very phenomenal schools for PE, and I enjoyed both of them a lot. So,
thanks for sharing, Adam. A unique perspective, being able to speak about both programs. I love it. And thank you for bringing up the dual certification as an undergrad.
Yes.
The opportunity to complete in both PE and health education. That's certainly critical. And Adam did his first student teaching placement in what he considers, and he's right, a suburban district. And I think one of our teacher candidates, Megan, is from that school, went to high school there. So that's impressive, or went to K through 12 there, because it's a K through 12 district, obviously. And then Adam is now doing his second student teaching placement in health in Buffalo Public Schools. And so, again, talk about diversity that Dr. Madden brings up, and Dr. Ramsey, the idea that we're always thinking about the wide range of students and what they bring to the equation when we're educators and teachers. And so Adam's certainly shared that eloquently. Well done.
Yeah, you zeroed in on something that I heard. Adam, thank you so much, man. And you said it was somewhat different. And I know that we want to give you a little bit of time just to say what's different about those placements that you're talking about, because our audience would like to know a bit about the diversity and or any culturally responsive type of setting that you're referencing.
Yeah, so I would say for Star Point, it's, like I said, it's more of a suburban area. I think that the students were, I would say, a lot more structured and respectful in a way. Coming to a Buffalo public school, I grew up in kind of a middle high school, so I'm used to both kind of in a way, which is, I think it was very unique about my high school. So going to the Buffalo Public School, I had to kind of change gears and set into kind of more of like reprimanding students. And that's completely fine with me because it's a good experience to get both in, and who knows where I'll end up teaching after I'm done with this. So that's why I found both sides of it to be very interesting. And I'm honestly very thankful that Dr. Seymour decided to put me in one that is suburban and one that's in the city, because I think that really helps to give me more of a, I'm trying to think of the word, like more diversity and more understanding of how everyone's brought up and stuff. So
absolutely. I agree totally. And that's an experience you'll never forget. And that'd be an experience you'd be able to use in any setting that you go into because of the advantages you have had of having these both settings to have the opportunity to teach. So congrats again.
Yeah. And last year. You said to, thank you. And you said you work in Brooklyn. So I would love to honestly experience a school like that just to get that under my belt. And that would be awesome. So
come on down, my man. Come on down. You pick the gray. We got you, man. Come on down.
Thank
matter
you.
Matter of fact, I'm going to hold you to that. Dr. Seymour, I'm going to hold him to this because we need teachers down here, man. And you could take that experience back also, man. And we look forward to that. So please come on down. We'll talk offline. But to our listeners, thank you so much for sharing that piece that you talk about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, what do you think, Dr. Ramsey? Well, should we move on to perhaps the next question? I think we've done pretty well with talking about both programs a little bit. Now let's
move on to
the next question. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's kind of, and it certainly, leans or kind of segues nicely. We still are diving into both programs, but so next question. And one thing that I want to bring up, I think it was Jay and Casey who first started and talked about a semester long placement. I don't want to lose that piece that they both brought up from Cortland, because I think it's an important piece that we need to continue to discuss, but we'll get to that in a second. So our next question, and again, for anyone, and Dr. Madden, you as well, obviously, how many K-12 field experiences have you completed as teacher candidates, or does the program have specifically? Anyone? Go ahead, Megan. Go ahead.
All right. So my name is Megan Weber. I'm from Buffalo, but I've been going to SUNY Cortland for 4 years, and I'm student teaching at a local elementary school, K-2. So field experience, we started out, I was always 2 semesters ahead, so I was able to get some more field experience before COVID. So I worked with preschoolers at our local daycare at SUNY Cortland. And then for our motor development class, we were able to go to after school programs and just mostly observe. But then COVID occurred during my major classes, where I would be going out to elementary schools or high schools to actually teach students. So I missed out on those, but then I got thrown right into student teaching, and I feel like it's going pretty well so far. For our 355 class that we have kids who actually come into my school where I'm student teaching. So it's kind of a different outlook. So I am able to observe future teacher candidates who are going into student teaching next semester, teach my own students. So it's awesome being able to observe and give them helpful tips as well.
Yes, thank you.
Megan, I appreciate you sharing. Again, props to you. You make everybody happy here, because you're at Cortland and speaking to Dr. Madden's program and Ms. Brown. And then, of course, you're a former Western New York resident. So we love you, too. That's fantastic.
Yes. And she talked about sharing, because she talked about giving tips to incoming student teachers. Is that what I heard also, right, Megan? You're giving tips to incoming student teachers who are coming
to give my input on how they're
absolutely
teaching as well.
That's awesome. Yes.
Great. Does Abby want to say something?
Abby?
Or is Casey next? I'm not sure.
I'll join. Okay. So starting, I'm a graduate student at Canisius. I am currently student teaching in my second placement at Buffalo Public School 99. It is a very diverse school. I love it so far. I'm with pre-K to fourth, and I actually have had like the complete opposite situation as Adam. I have gone from a school in the suburbs to a BPS school that my kids are angels compared to what I came from at the middle school in West Seneca. But yes, this is my technically third experience with working with students, consider, because we came in and our field experience, which would have been our first experience working with the students, was cut into by COVID. So we ended up having to do video observations instead. So then I was able to do my practicum last semester, and then I did my first student teaching placement, and now I'm at my second one. So technically four, but I guess three.
That is awesome. Thank you, Abby. Let me ask you something real quickly about you mentioned diversity, and this is a topic that we will be always be having to deal with, having to, you know, accommodate our audiences, our students, and the environment in which we are. So what could you tell us a little bit about that diverse setting that you're talking about? What made it diverse?
So I have a lot of students that are from multiple different cultures. I have a lot of students that are homeless or living in out of shelters, or parents that are incarcerated at the moment. So it's just been very different personalities, home lives. Like, it's just, it's hard. Some of them struggle to even, it's clear that they wear the same clothes to school, and it's just very, very different as compared to West Seneca.
Glad you had that experience, Abby, and to everyone and to our listeners. One book in particular that I have always enjoyed reading was it's called Teacher and Child by Hayam Gino. And it teaches you about empathy and understanding students and meeting students where they are. So that's one book in particular. And I could list a whole bunch of other books that will speak to these challenges that we're dealing with, that we deal with when we are teaching. So thank you for the work that you're doing. And I hope that this experience has helped you to be a better person, better teacher in the future. So thank you. Sure. Anyone else? Someone else,
agreed,
Casey.
Agreed, Dr. Like Ramsey. Real quick too, and Dr. Madden adds that Cortland, at Cortland, non-COVID, so perhaps prior to the pandemic, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Madden, but it looks like five field experiences.
Five placements
within the program. That's pretty impressive.
Wow! And by the way, I read your frequently advised questions listing here. It was impressive too. You cover a wide range of things here that are important, and I commend you for that. Yes, I think we have Casey. Is that Casey? You want to go again, Casey?
Yeah, sure. So it's Casey Sponda from SUNY Cortland. My placement is at Dryden Elementary School. Pretty neat. But yeah, like Dr. Madden said over in that chat, we have those five placements in pre-COVID. And luckily, for the most part, I personally got through the majority of them. So we have the, you know, yeah, so I got through a good amount of them. I did my one semester, we have an adapted physical education class where we actually get to be one-on-one with the student with a disability. And we have to learn all about their disability. And we actually do like a little lessons. Like, some students actually taught them in the pools, while others, I had the gym location. So I would teach my student in the gym, and I would adapt my little lessons and stuff. We work on our fundamental motor skills and stuff like that. Sadly, it was cut in half because of COVID. And then our last, like, in-person working with kids experience, that got cut for me too as well, where the, like Megan was talking about, where they were coming into her school and actually getting to work with elementary kids. We had to adapt our program a little bit, and we had to pretend like our college peers were our elementary students. And it was pretty neat because for some of our lessons, they would assign roles to students. So there'd be a student who is like a second language learner, a student who can't hear, a student with a visual impairment and stuff like that. So it was like, we would have to adjust and they would act it out for us because that was all we really could do at that time. But lots of hands-on experience. And it definitely proved helpful, especially getting into student teaching, because we've seen this stuff. We've worked with kids before. It's nothing new or scary because we've seen it all before.
Oh, so that five placement, that adjustment was worthwhile. It is worthwhile. Absolutely. Thank you. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Thank you. Anyone else, please know that we are a family of health and physical educators. Please feel free to come on and speak. It's perfectly fine. We're one big family here. So we invite others. And thank you. Thank you for those of you who have shared so far. Anyone else would like to share?
I'll add something in. Hi, Jess here again from SUNY Cortland. So going off of for me personally, I wasn't able to get all of my COVID experiences. Well, experiences due to COVID, but honestly, I think what we had to do online and having to take videos of ourselves and submitting them through online and having to do an online Google Classroom and stuff was just as beneficial in some aspects, because you never know, COVID, nobody ever knew COVID was going to happen, but that's it right. happened and we had that's to get right. through it. So I think even having to make those adjustments when we have to submit teaching videos and figure out how we're going to put our cues and stuff up and whatnot, I think that was also beneficial, even if the experience didn't come with it hands-on.
Excellent. That's right. Dr. Seymour, can't hear you.
Thank you. So does anybody else want to add to just the experiences, the field experiences, but in terms of how many?
Yeah, I'll go into the chat.
Okay, go ahead. We have another gentleman. Good. Go ahead, Logan. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
My name's Logan Warren. I am at Canisius. I'm in the graduate program, currently in my last semester. I'm in my second placement. I'm at Buffalo Public Olmsted. And kind of like what the other candidates have been saying, it's just a completely different experience from what I had first. I was in a kind of a suburb setting out in Lancaster with maybe probably the best PE teacher in the Western New York. Shout out Mark Angelo. And he was great. I can't remember who said it, kind of like someone else said, it was more kind of a structured, typical suburban environment where, the curriculum was laid out, they followed it to a T. And now at the Buffalo Public, it's a little bit more, laid back. They actually don't have a curriculum, so kind of everything's more up in the air, and the diversity aspect too as well. But yeah, just two different experiences, and it's been great. I'm very thankful.
Thank great. You, Logan.
Thanks for sharing, Logan. That's thank excellent. You. I think Megan McKee wants to say a few words. Go ahead, Meg.
Hi everyone. I am Megan McKee. I am from Canisius College. I am in my last year. I'm doing my student teaching now. I have had an awesome experience at Canisius with a bunch of different placements. I've done 7 placements total, but I did a few at my first school that I went to. So 7 different placements is a whole bunch of different places and things and people to see and meet. And I've had some really interesting different experiences with all those people and all those students. Right now I am at Amherst High School, focusing mainly with freshmen. I came from the same school as Adam, but I was at the elementary level, K-2. So I went from a more suburban school, to a totally diverse community. I've got a kid that came to my class today for the first time and he only speaks Russian. And so we are all going through different experiences with all the different students that I've been meeting that, it's different from going from kindergartners asking you to tie their shoes to high school health. So I have done a little bit of teaching there so far and it's been fantastic, but I am really loving that I get a chance to do health and phys ed. So my first 2 classes of the day, I get to teach phys ed and we're doing pickleball and it's fantastic. And then I do a bunch of classes in health and it's totally switching gears. You go from one class, you run up the hall to the next class to teach health, but it's super fun and a totally different experience than I've had before. I was actually placed with the same teacher right as COVID started. I think I was there maybe 4 times before the world shut down on us. And so I'm glad to be back and I'm loving it so far. So
did I make experience. Ms. McKee, did I hear you say 7 different?
Yeah.
7. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a well-rounded package there.
Yeah, I've been at 7 different placements. I did a few at the community college I was at. Right. And then I've done, I think I'm on my 3rd one with Canisius.
Congratulations. Great job. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Meg. That was great. And I think Dr. Madden has his hand up.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Seymour. I placed this in the chat too. I think at times, while maybe not as explicit to the teacher candidates, they have highlighted it. Not only is there a progression of five placements, so essentially you are building up hours, but it's also a as far as a curriculum planning model, it's a tier model. So if you could imagine in your first placement while working directly with kids in a, in our instance, it's an after school program. I think that Megan highlighted this, it's more in as an observation. So they're looking at that from, while a practical sense, in a more laboratory type of item. So yes, they're planning and working and doing some physical activity, but really looking at like growth and development. And then while moving on to their pre-K experience, which is another unique thing here, they work anywhere between 25 and 30 hours with early childhood. And that's more of a hands-on or more of a accelerated or complex teaching space where they're delivering activity cards and working with the same kid with maybe a one-on-one. But as it progresses through essentially the semester before student teaching that unfortunately Casey missed, it would have been a full implementation. So not only is it the hours, I would like to add that it's planned as the quality of the hours themselves. So not so much how much you're there, but how intense it is when you're there, which all the teacher candidates can look at and highlight. You know, there's a real difference between teaching 15 hours and observing for 50 hours. You know, that the intensity is, the learning curve is quite accelerated.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that tier system you just shared with us, Dr. Madden. Thank you.
Hey, so what do you think, Dr. Ramsey?
Yes, I think I'm ready for another question to our audience. And I want to thank you so far. I appreciate all the robust information that you're sharing with us. So where do you feel prepared as a student candidate, and where might you need more development? And let me put this in context, because oftentimes even when student teaching, I've always learned from my early inception into teaching, my first observation when I got at my post-observation meeting with my principal, she said, I thought I had the greatest lesson. And she said, every lesson plan has room for improvement. And I've never forgot that. So it's always reflecting on what can be done better. So where do you feel yourself be prepared as a teacher, ready to go into the field, and where you might need more development? And please note that this is an open forum, and feel free to say, hey, I need some help in this area, and this audience here, we might have the answers right in here. So anyone, let's go with Jenna, Casey, Matt, in that order, and then Jay. Is that all right? And then Brandon. Awesome. And then Logan.
All right. This is Jenna Piero again from SUNY Cortland. So I think where I feel prepared as a teacher candidate is lesson planning, because at SUNY Cortland, I don't know if this is like other places, we create really extensive lessons, and we've been doing it for like a while now, like a lot of semesters. Our lesson plan template is really helpful. So on that, it has like the objectives you gotta write every time, the national New York State outcomes, your safety statements, how you're gonna transition the students, and then the modifications showing easier or harder way to make tests. And of course, like your closures, introductions, and then your assessments. And then at the bottom, it includes like our instructional support. So like say if we use test cards or anything. And I just feel like the lesson planning has helped me a lot, because I always have like a backup plan if something doesn't go how I'd like it to. And that's it really for what I have for how I feel prepared.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you. Casey?
Hi, it's Casey from Cortland again. I gotta say, I gotta agree with Jenna. Lesson plans are very big over here, and making them progressional is huge. So making sure that the day before leads up to the activities or whatever you're doing the next day. And I've seen that in my student teaching experience. I've been making unit plans, and then I've been planning my lessons based off of that unit plan, which is a nice structure, and making sure that they're progressive is super important. And I felt very prepared in that aspect. And my host teacher also is pretty impressed by it and tells me about it, that we do have a pretty progressional style over at Cortland. Something that I definitely can improve on, that I've been working on, that is something you really can't teach or learn in a classroom, it's more hands-on experience, is managerial components. For the most part, you know, you can talk about the things that you can do in the classroom, but it isn't until you get into the classroom or to the gym where you actually put them into practice. You know, kids want to share stories, but you're running out of time, so you might have to tell them to put their hands down, or kids keep using the bathroom or this and that, or people keep talking, and just using different types of phrases and words and stuff to try to keep that classroom management under control. And being that I got to start and end in the same placement, I got to see a lot of my host teachers' managerial things, and I've even gotten to try some of my own to see what works, what doesn't work, so that when I do have my own class, I would be able to use those. So that's definitely something I need to work on, but it like I said, it's something that you kind of learn over time.
Yeah, and you're doing something that's amazing. You are observing and picking up on tidbits or ideas that your cooperative teachers or colleagues have, and that you've given it your own flavor, right? So you're going to add your own style to it, because it's a very challenging thing to put together an amazing lesson. And here we are now, I can't manage time. I can't manage behavior, off task behavior, or something to that nature. And it may let your lesson plan go awry. So I thank you for sharing that. Yes, indeed. Thank you. And I'm making notes of some of those, what we call in New York City here, glows and then growth. So glows are the exactly. Good things, and then glows. Okay, so.
And Dr. Ramsey, kudos to Casey. She's already reaching out to our panelists to try to create a little teacher candidate network to continue to learn from.
That's the order of the day. That's right, networking, yeah. Absolutely. Matt?
Yeah, hi, I'm Matt Cefaletto. I'm an undergrad at Canisius right now, finishing up my second placement. My first placement was at an elementary school in Hamburg, K-5. That was a great experience. Very grateful for that. Loved it. Right now, I'm in the high school teaching health at the Pew High School. One thing I think I'm really prepared for, and definitely helpful at the time at Canisius that I spent here, would be my adaptability to like change my lessons on my feet. You know, I think the time that we spent in the early field experiences, and then obviously student teaching right now in our placements, it gives you a lot of time to kind of get that classroom management type style down, being able to say, hey, you know, this is the lesson that I planned for the day, but you know, my first grade class really doesn't want to listen. They're having a time staying on task. So let's change it up a little bit. Let's do something that we're still going to get a meaningful experience out of them, but you know, not something where they're going to be distracted and not really participating at all. One thing that I think maybe I could benefit from more of, and I'm jealous of, is I think Cortland's adventure and a lot of their outdoor programs, those sound really cool. A lot of interesting experiences getting to go and learn how to teach those different types of units and stuff like that. So that'd be something that I'd look forward to in the future, for sure.
Thanks for sharing, Matt. That's fantastic. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your input. Who do we have next? We have Jay followed by Brandon.
Jay, yes.
Okay.
In that order.
Go for it, Jay.
Okay, hi. So I think this is Jay from SUNY Cortland. And I think SUNY Cortland has helped me like transition from the old PE that I'm used to at home in Poughkeepsie to like the new PE to guide children in the process of becoming more active for a long time, and not just in school but outside of school. I agree with Jenna and Casey that the lesson plans have been really helpful, really in detail, and it's helped me become more creative and prepare for at least 3 to 5 tasks for the students, because I have elementary, so they get their attention span is very short sometimes. So I just have to have that. And there are students that are injured sometimes. So like if their arm is hurting, maybe I'll have them kick or something like that. So I like to adapt in that way and modify the task. Something, and then I think I'm good with adding literacy in too, because we have soccer and football units, so I just have them read a fun fact in PE. Some things that I want to work on is my transition. Sometimes they're a little rough. And working on my communication with the students to implement more social emotional learning too, because we don't know exactly what they go through at home. This could be the best part of their day, and we can't get frustrated with them by pointing them out because they aren't listening or they're bouncing up and down. Like, that's obvious. So I think it's easy to do that. So what I've been trying to do is point out the students that are doing the right thing, and that, like, use them as role models. So then the other students that aren't listening, look at them, they're like, oh, okay, I'll do that instead. And I've been trying to do more daily check-ins with my students too, just to see how their day is going. And yeah, so I really want to work on social emotional learning as well.
Wow. Thank Great you. Stuff,
Jay.
Very yes, impressive. Jay. Yeah. Yes. And looking and speaking to students outside of the physical education setting, I think you alluded to that. It's excellent strategies to help you with eventually dealing with certain off-task behavior or managing your classes, going back to what the previous speaker spoke about. So you also said something about your transitioning and be able to shift gears, which is something that Matt alluded to when he talked about be able to change on the fly, because you never know, something may not work with a class or with a group, or you may not not work the day of, and then you'll be able to shift gears in on the fly, as he stated. So thank you again for sharing that.
The other thing I'd like to add about Jay's piece here, it kind of speaks to what you brought up about some of the literature that you cited, and then even Abby's point about empathy and recognizing the background, right?
Right.
And you know, context is so critical. And you know, I love what I hear from Jay, because she recognizes that, you know, the old saying, kids before content and Maslow before Bloom, all that stuff, it's so important. In order for the child to grow and learn, we must make connections with them and look at them, you know, or be able to reach to their level and connect at their level. And if we don't have an understanding of their background and what they bring, or that perhaps what they cannot bring to the equation, then we're already at a deficit. And so I really like what Jay is referring to about you know, making those connections first. That's critical in this, for sure.
Yes, and I just want to add that as physical educators and as pedagogues, we need to also take the risk of reading things that are outside of physical education that can help us with our practice. For example, and I put it in the chat, Dr. Shiroki's Holly's book, Culturally and Linguistic Responsive Teaching and Learning, an excellent book to address some of the topics that Jay and others brought up. And also Cornelius Minor, We Got This, Equity Access and the Quest to Be Who Our Students Needs Us to Be. So this is an example of some of the outside Fantastic. Of the readings that you could do. So I'll drop those in the chat for everyone to have. Okay,
that's excellent, Dr. Ramsey. Thank okay, you. So I think we got Brandon, who is on the edge of his seat, ready to contribute. Go ahead, Brandon.
My name is Brandon Nicholson. I'm a graduate student at Canisius in my second and final placement at Lancaster High School. My first placement was at Buffalo Public School 31, and it was K through 8. And my mentor teacher there was big on being adaptable, and he said that to me like right away. So something that I feel more than confident in now is being able to adapt my lessons. As there was multiple times going through a day where I was teaching, and he would say to me 2 minutes before class, he's like, scrap this lesson, do something off the top of your head. And I would just have to go and roll with it and find something. And that made me comfortable. And I've done it multiple times now where I feel like if I needed to scrap something and go into a new lesson, I have things in the back of my head I could do that in. So I thought that was very beneficial for him to do that. And somewhere I'm not so developed in, or where I struggled in the beginning especially, was managing the classroom. And especially with the way they did it there, was every grade was combined. So there was 60, 70 fourth graders in the gym at a time. And they team teach. So there was 2-3 teachers. But when it was on my back, and especially in the first couple weeks of student teaching, getting them all to be quiet and getting them all to transition like in a manner that wasn't taking 10 minutes was difficult for me. And after talking with my mentors and finding new ways to do so, it helped it out. But I think also being with that at Buffalo Public School, some of those kids weren't in school for over a year, and they were unstructured to begin with. And going back into that setting, they're going to be crazy, want to talk to their friends and all that. So that was a challenge for me at first, but I feel like as my student teaching placement went on, it got better. And now at my other student teaching placement in Lancaster, it is a completely different world from what I was experiencing at Buffalo Public School. I'll say that.
Great stuff, Brandon. Thank you for sharing. And again, talk about preparing for the least expected, right? When you least expected. I love that from your mentor teachers. That's, you know, again, doing their part to again, cultivate the teacher candidate. I love it. Okay. I think Logan might want to add to the conversation. Is that right, Logan?
Yes. So Logan, again, from Canisius. I was going to talk about, you know, adaptation, but I think we covered that. So I'm going to audible to my number two, which was more of student connection. Especially in my first placement, my goal as a teacher, as a future teacher too, was to connect with all my students, regardless, you know, of demographics, athletic ability, you know, you name it, every student. And through my placement, I made, you know, connections with multiple different students in the classes, you know, the athletes, the non-athletes, boys, girls, there really was no limit. And, you know, at the end of my first placement, even, you know, almost every single student came up to me, gave me a hug. Basically, you know, I want to pump my tires too much, but kind of almost begged me to come back and teach there. I wish it was that easy, because obviously I would have said yes, but, you know, it really meant a lot. And I think that that's one of my strongest suits as a future teacher. And then something I need to maybe work on is transitions. You know, when I first started making lesson plans, I was so focused on, you know, the correct activity time, you know, teaching correct, you know, aligning the standards correctly with the grade level, all that kind of stuff. But I really wasn't thinking too much about transition. You know, that was kind of like a second to the content for what I was teaching. And I quickly realized that that's almost equally as important. So I think that needs a little bit more work, just tiny little differences in how I transition can make, you know, a huge difference in the flow of the class. So I think that's my main point of development.
Yes. Thank you, Logan. Anyone else would like to share? Thank you. Thank you, Logan. And thank you for being on. Transparent and brave to share those growths that you need to, or those things that you would like to improve as a teacher, as a practitioner. So this is important, and reflecting. And I want to thank, is it Casey that put together the little group thing?
Yep, she's going to.
That's excellent.
Set up a little network, indeed.
That's excellent. And no, I will certainly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Doctor.
No, I'll drop my contact in there as well. I'd be happy to share any and every resource that's I have. Great. At my disposal with you. So, and do not hesitate, reach out, ask any questions that you wish regarding how to address sometimes the issue of classroom management, off-task behaviors, things of that nature. I'll be happy to share that with you. Yeah.
And I think we have next, we have Mrs. Brown, one of our university supervisors, and then
yes.
Possibly Derek afterwards. Go ahead, Mrs. Brown.
All right, Jamie Brown, student teaching supervisor at Cortland State. Brandon and Matt, I got my Victory Monday shirt on. Go Bills. One thing that as both a supervisor and formerly being a cooperating teacher, a thing I used to talk about with my students was there's theory and there's practice. You know, they get all the theory in their coursework and whatnot, and they go from teaching their fellow majors who are gung-ho and enthusiastic and cooperate when it's their turn to teach, and then they get thrown into less than ideal situations, like one of the students talked about, 60 students in a class and all kinds of little pop-up things that happen, and Casey mentioned about, you know, kids interrupting and behavior issues and whatnot. So I see that, like Casey said, students need more practice in developing the routines and transitions and that kind of stuff. And I see that students, when they write their lesson plans, they feel that they have to stick to the script and they want to be very rigid. And it's like they have to go through that checklist and get through every activity that they have down there, and they don't necessarily respond or react to how things are going and say, wait a minute, this isn't going the way I thought it is, so let's try to tweak it and adjust. So, and the biggest thing is mostly they tend to early on is use teacher-directed modes of instruction rather than kind of branching out and trying other stuff. And I liked what Jay said about making a connection, making connections with students. One thing I did when I taught was I would go eat lunch in the cafeteria and just sit at different tables every day. And at one point in time, in my own head, I had this group that I labeled as the table of misfit toys, so to speak. And I would sit and eat lunch with them, and they loved it. And you can make great connections in other areas of the building. So that's it. You can tell Matt that I did contribute as well, too.
Absolutely, Miss Brown. I could not agree with you more. Kids see you totally different. You jump into some of those other classes. Miss Brown, in my math class, I thought you only taught phys ed. Math is my favorite subject. Every subject is your favorite subject. And kids see you totally different. So thank you for the work that you're doing. Much appreciated. Derek Eisler.
We're still waiting on Derek and his sound.
Still waiting on Derek.
We'll get him a chance to reset and recalibrate, and we'll come back to him. Is there anybody else that wants to talk about their strengths and potentially where they need to get better? That's what it's all
about.
Go ahead,
Megan. Go ahead, Megan.
Hi, it's Megan from Canisius College again. I have learned through all my experiences and really my whole life that I have a problem where I talk too much. and I often am told that, you know, Megan, you're talking too much. Just say what you got to say and be done with it. And I get in front of my kids and I just want to say everything that comes across my mind. And I know that that's definitely something that I need to work on. And it's something that I'm actively working on. You know, just little things that maybe you don't think about or things that you don't see in yourself that somebody on the outside looking in totally sees about you that, sure, it might be nitpicky that you say every time, or little things that you are trying so hard to check boxes X, Y, and Z, but you're missing A, B, C. So I've definitely realized that I need to make my priorities and figure out what I need to say and how I need to say it and do all the right things. And it's definitely it's harder and something that you don't often think about until you have to think about it because somebody's told you to. And I think that I'm the greatest teacher ever, but sometimes, you know, other people don't think that. And I think it's super cool that we get the chance to do all these different placements and learn all those different things that, you know, my last placement teacher didn't see or didn't say that now my new placement teacher gets to see and say, and that's one more thing that we can work on and be the best teacher we can be.
You're mastering your craft. Two things that come to mind, Megan McKee, is confidence and assertiveness. Those two aspects, those very important aspects of a teacher, is that you're confident in the skills that you have, in the content knowledge, and with the delivery of that content knowledge. But I want to add something that you did not use the word, but you shared with us and you gave us a tidbit and you gave us a reminder. And that reminder is reflecting on our practice and things that we do to make our lives better as practitioners. So you're saying, I sat back, someone told me about this, but I look back at myself and say, maybe I'm talking too much when I'm giving instruction to students. Maybe I need to fall back a little bit on that, but you're reflecting, and that's a great strategy to use as a teacher. So I commend you for that. Derek, are you ready for us? And then Casey's, you ready for us this time? Can't hear you, but that's all right. We'll give you another break. That's okay. That's okay. It happens. Casey, you want to jump on while Derek figure it out again?
I mean, I put my hand up and then you said it. When Megan was talking, the first thing that came to mind was reflective practice. And I know that's something that Cortland is drilled into our minds, you know, reflect, reflect, reflect. If something doesn't work, try something else. And if it doesn't work, that's okay too. You know, just adaptability, absolutely. Reflection and adaptability. If I had to describe two words within the Cortland program, and it's that adaptability and that reflective practice, because if you can do that, you're set, because you can reflect on what you did and you can adapt your next lesson or your next class and just make it better so that it's more developmentally appropriate for your kids. But you took the words right out of my mouth.
And I just want to remind everyone that as you were speaking, I was writing down some of those quotes, and because Casey started that group, you may want to start sharing some strategies. Classroom management is one. Adventure education, learning a bit more about those adventure education strategies. Transitioning, and social emotional learning, a combination of those, transitioning and routines and procedures, which is something that Ms. Brown brought up. She talked about routines and having mastering that. So these are all things that I noted as you were talking. Derek, I think you're ready for us now, Derek. We got to get Derek. Yay, we got Derek. We got you, Derek.
The beautiful, irony, this is Derek again. The beautiful irony was my comment was going to be about how our teacher candidates will be starting off our teaching careers, being able to incorporate technology into instruction and being able to use services like Huddle, and using GIF or JIF or however you prefer to say it, imagery for UDL principals. And I could go on and on forever. And meanwhile, my microphone won't even work. So it's nice. The pandemic was a challenging one for all of us, but being able to adjust and learn different ways to incorporate technology into instruction, I think that is a benefit that our wave of teachers will have while we will still play catch up a little bit on some of the more traditional styles of instruction when we finally set foot 40 hours a week into the actual classroom. So a little bit different, a little bit of a learning curve, but in a sense, I think we're sort of playing 5 years ahead of time as opposed to on time, if you will.
Yeah, but you just modeled it, babe. You just modeled it. You had an issue with tech. You probably did that on purpose.
And he too. Overcame it.
You
and
tested
he overcame
us it. Exactly.
I love it.
So you modeled it, man. Great job, fantastic. Derek. Thank you so much.
What do you think, Dr. Ramsey? Should we move on to?
Yeah. Yes, I think that we should. The article. I can't wait to hear folks
have. Why don't we chat a little bit quickly about the article, and then we can kind of close with kind of the underlying theme of the message of the article itself and perhaps some of the points that we've talked about today.
So, yes.
Yeah. So who had a chance to read the article and what are your thoughts? Anyone?
Well, I'll get things started to warm up on it. Somebody. Oh, you got it. Oh, we got it. Casey. Casey, go. No.
No, I think it was Abby and then Abby Casey. Go.
Abby and then Casey. I'm sorry.
I just read the article this morning right before I got started with school, because we have a free period. And so reading through that, I was really, really surprised that it said that some schools have a year-long student teaching situation. Wouldn't that be a really, really long time for students to be doing that without having the ability to work? I feel it made me thankful that I was in a situation where I'm not doing a whole year long, because I have to support myself as a human being, as an adult, you know. I'm glad. I like the 7 weeks. I felt ready to move on by the end of my placement. So my first placement. So I just wanted to say I'm thankful that I'm not in a year long residency situation.
Okay, Abby, that's an interesting counter thought to that type of approach. And I guess, you know, that's a logical concern. You know, teacher candidates, students in higher education have to be able to, support themselves and consider how they're going to afford their education. So that's a good point. I guess the counter to that would be, you know, there's other professions that have that type of year-long internship, even longer, perhaps a doctor that goes into residency for 1, 2 years, 3 years. So something to certainly think about for sure. Anybody else regarding the article itself? Oh, Casey, I think wanted to add. Go ahead, Casey.
Sorry. I know I've been doing a little bit of talking. I'm Casey from Cortland again. So I read briefly over the article, and I thought it was quite interesting to see that there are different programs run differently. And then it also talked about the use of EdTPA and how there are some courses, some schools that do more of a content heavy, where they kind of just, you know, give you all that information. And then the only time you really get to see the students and get to work with them is that student teaching experience. And I can see if they did like a whole year worth of that, that would make a lot of sense, because they can progress smoothly through, you know, integrating. Whereas at Cortland, we kind of have that where we start with more of an observational based type of thing, and they slowly ease us into actually teaching and working with the kids. So I can see how it can work in some programs where they might not have that hands-on experience so much throughout their time in their school or their program, and then using that whole year-long experience. I seen that being in the Cortland program and having a lot of hands-on experience, you know, it's nice to have that, you know, only half the year kind of feel, where, you know, you don't want to get too settled, too acclimated with the class, because at the end of the day, it is that host teacher's classroom and or class or gym. And it's kind of like, I see the benefits of having that full time, but then you also have that mentorship that whole year in your first year of actually physically teaching and being certified and all that, where you are, you know, you have like a mentor kind of teacher in that aspect too, that kind of guides you through the first year of your teaching, rather than still affiliating with a college or something like that. But it was a very interesting article to read about the different perspectives and how there are different programs and how they're run, and seeing which method would be the best practice to make the most development, you know, progressive, developmentally appropriate teaching styles and teachers. So it was a very cool article.
Thanks, Casey. I appreciate your kind words. And for the rest of our teacher candidates and listeners, I'm sure Dr. Ramsey has some perspectives as well. But the one key piece that you hit there, Casey, and you hit the nail on the head particularly, was this model was created, just this practicum, that was in direct response to a new teacher certification exam at that point, fall 2013, the EdTPA. And the idea that students are going to be asked to develop this integrated portfolio, if you will, during student teaching that includes video and knowledge and background of students and the whole gamut, if you will, then they're going to need a much more concentrated experience during student teaching to be able to develop those connections. So we went to the drawing board and said, how can we, you know, reimagine student teaching? So we developed this practicum that loops into student teaching accordingly. So that's what the article speaks to. So back to Casey's point, I'm glad she caught this. It was at the time directly in response to the EdTPA. But as we've learned, when it comes to interventions or any type of approach we take as an educator, we find out that in many cases, the original intention, while noble, takes on a life of itself, Dr. Ramsey, and in some cases ends up benefiting in ways that we don't think about, or for that matter, in some cases, regretfully, perhaps there might be adverse effects too.
Yeah, absolutely. The title of the article came directly when I saw a clinically rich. The word rich to me meant it was authentic, comprehensive, and it involved an array of things that, in response, as you said, to the need to have a EdTPA approach or some sort of a justification for the authenticity of what is it that student practitioners, future practitioners, bring to the table. I reflected on something that Abby said when she talked about having to sustain yourself as an adult. I totally get it. Yes, you're correct. I was thinking on the last in your discussion when you talk when you address the concerns about the 60% of the TCs poll agreed or strongly agreed with item 4 versus 34% of TCs who are neutral, disagree, or strongly disagree. It may be that on this term, this item, individual interpretation of the term challenge, perhaps with both positive and negative connotation, contributed to the wide range of scores and rating close to the center of the scale to unsure point. I thought about this whole piece right here, and I said, wouldn't it be nice to pilot something like what you're suggesting in this study to see what would be the long-term effect of having a program like this implemented somewhere? Obviously, it would have to be, say, backed up by some form of a grant that will, again, help the student candidate who is in the process of completing their program to be able to sustain themselves financially and otherwise. But it would be amazing to see what would be the outcome of that. And then I thought about something also that Casey talked about, and she used the word mentor. And wouldn't it be also another layer of a pilot program or a model that could mimic somewhat this suggested approach that you had here and see how a mentoring program will serve as a part of a long-term, i.e. a year-long process in this. Great information in there that had me reflecting on how we can revisit or should revisit or at least consider some of what we do in our program, teacher education program.
And that's a good point, Dr. Ramsey, you bring up is, you know, this was, and hopefully this resonated particularly with our teacher candidates from Canisius, because, you know, what's explained and detailed in the study is the model that they have now participated in. So hopefully this really does resonate with all of you, and it sounds familiar. But for our Cortland teacher candidates, I think Dr. Ramsey speaks nicely to the fact that it would be really interesting now to take a look at teacher candidates who have gone through this model and compare them long range to perhaps teacher candidates that have not, and see, you know, what the strengths and weaknesses are. You know, that we certainly speak to that at the end of the article about the possibilities for additional research moving forward. And like you said, using the instrument in other ways.
Let me just have another plug here. And one of the things that one of our future podcasts will be on applying research to practice. And this is another thing that I want to reemphasize, that the importance of applying research articles and research that we do in health and physical education to what we are doing, to what we are supposed to do as practitioners. I would just want to reemphasize the importance of that and continue to encourage you to read research articles and, of course, things that are pertinent to our fields of study. So I want to make that point, reemphasize that point.
Good point, Dr. Ramsey. Anybody else want to add about their thoughts regarding the article, or we can kind of move into our last piece? Oh, Mrs. Brown, excellent. Please.
I thought it was a very interesting concept, you know, thinking of, you know, medical rotations. So they would set up various rotations in the education field. But like Abby said, I think you'll run into some snafus in terms of implementing, even from the school district perspective, in terms of the administration, teachers unions, yada yada yada.
Yes.
So I think there would be obstacles, but it sounds like, from my experience with the Cortland program, it's a bit of a hybrid and takes pieces from both.
Right. So. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
You're welcome.
And very good point. And that's kind of why we felt like it was important for us to try to keep this new imagined model under the confines of a traditional four-year undergrad teacher prep program, or in at the graduate level, the year and a half teacher cert. So again, I think Mrs. Brown is spot on with trying to consider a lot of the different factors that may go in, or perhaps obstacles that may go into elongating student teaching to mirror what we see in other disciplines or, you know, in other industries. So I think we did try to, when we envisioned that, we were certainly considerate of that. I think Derek wants to add, and I think he's got a sound ready to go.
Hey, yep, called in again. Derek,
once more. I just wanted to add another, you know, benefit from going to Canisius and trying out this model firsthand. As far as being like a new student teacher, you know, full reins, full classroom, full planning, you name it. One of the biggest benefits from this model for me in particular was having that observation experience at Sweet Home Middle School in the spring and getting to know all those teachers, getting to know the building, to know where to park, getting to know the administration, you know, building that rapport, not only with the students, but also my mentor teacher. And then, oh, by the way, that's your placement for the next fall. So not only did it alleviate some of those day one nerves or day one butterflies, but it really did set the stage for, I think, a successful fall, you know, at least a start to my student teaching, where now I'm in the second placement and the start of it isn't quite the same. Now it's still going well, but it's definitely, you hit the ground running with your student teaching placement, having already been there in the spring.
Excellent, Derek. Thank you for sharing that. And that really does segue nicely, excuse me, to our Cortland students who, while they can't speak to the practicum that's detailed in this model, they can speak to the semester long student teaching experience that's been enabled by the pandemic. And I think that's the last question that we have for today, Dr. Ramsey, if you want
to. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Yes. So could you explain how the practicum or the semester long student teaching experience with the pandemic has aided in your development as a student candidate? Some of you alluded to that earlier, but if you want to expand on that, please feel free to come on Mike and just share with us how the practicum or the semester long student teaching experience aided in your development and your preparation as a future professional student candidate.
Casey, take it away.
So honestly, it has been an experience. I'm Casey from SUNY Cortland again. And I love it only because I am at an elementary level where I didn't really get to see too much elementary stuff, especially because my one placement for one of my other classes was kind of cut off because of COVID. So I get to see from start to basically finish of my student teaching. I get to watch these kids actually grow and develop through my own units and my own lessons. And also I got to see right from the get-go some managerial things. So my host teacher did a fantastic job of helping me ease into the classroom and the roles that I have to do. So it started off with kind of just more of an observational thing. And I picked up on little things like how she greets the class, some certain phrases she uses, how the class exits, that kind of stuff. So that when I took over, I had a lot of managerial components to already use. And then I got to add in some of my own. So it was kind of cool to see, you know, the beginning of the year. And then I also get to stay with these kids, you know, create that rapport and watch them grow and develop rather than have to switch between different things. And like I said, I'm working with kindergarten, first, second, fifth. So I have a little bit of a spread. So I am pretty fortunate in that regard. And I also have had a lot of field experience between high school and middle school with my other classes. And I also, at my previous institution before I transferred into Cortland back in 2018, I also had some hours at a high school. And I've seen high school, I've seen middle school, and I really got to, you know, see elementary school now. And it was kind of nice to see from start to kind of finish managerial and how classes are run. It's definitely a different experience, but I think it was pretty neat.
Thank you. Thank you, Casey. Thank you. Megan and then Adam.
So I think the one semester of student teaching has aided in my development as a teacher candidate because I feel more comfortable and confident with the students I am teaching. I feel with the classes, I know all of their names. It makes me a better teacher and I'm able to interact with them. And so talking and directing through instruction is a lot easier. And also the relationships I've formed with the students and my host teacher, I feel like it's very comfortable and it's nice having those new connections.
That's awesome.
Adam, yes. Would you like to add, Adam?
So, hello, this is Adam from Canisius. Megan and Casey, you guys kind of already hit on just about everything I was going to say, but I just wanted to say that I thought the practicum is just a very, very good idea because of how how well situated I got with the school beforehand of coming into student teaching. And that's just not with the students either. I made also very good connections with the other teachers and just got very comfortable with the school. I ended up coaching there, so I got very comfortable with the school. It was honestly very sad to leave when I was there for almost a whole year. So it was very sad and I had to leave. And I ended up making a lot of connections in that span. And I would say the most important thing was how close me and my mentor teacher were to each other. We still talk just about almost every day. We're actually like he's more than a mentor to me now. He's like one of my close friends. So I think that the practicum is a really good idea to get you ready for the student teaching semester. And I don't see anything wrong with it. So
it's wonderful. It's talking about building relationships, long lasting relationships. It's something that I am a advocate for. So thank you. Of course, indeed. Thank you for sharing.
Fantastic. That. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Adam, as well. I agree. To be able to cultivate that relationship with a mentor teacher that will extend beyond your time going through teacher certification and hopefully into your induction years. That's, you know, another added benefit that probably we didn't give a lot of thought to, but certainly right. to the model itself. And you know, coming back to some of the talking points that we've addressed, Mrs. Brown talked about some of the logistics that may go into being the obstacles that may go into having a year long or even longer type of residency model. And then Abby started that conversation that way, but that's where we were when we developed that is we said, okay, well, if we can keep it under the confines of 4 years and instead of doing it all in one semester, let's do it in two semesters to develop that continuity. That's kind of what we envision would be the best approach. You know, my students that are in the panel and probably others would echo, you know, that second last semester when you have to juggle 200 hours or more, 3 days a week of practicum alongside of your classes, they're looking at me and they're probably saying, this is not easy. And what did I get myself into? But now as the light emerges from the darkness, right, as Adam points out, you know, he sees the bigger picture and others alike. So that certainly speaks to that. And then the added benefit is the continuity of two continuous semesters. Comparatively, our Cortland students have benefited from a semester long student teaching placement that normally wouldn't be the case. And is much the same as us at Canisius. The pandemic as a New York State Education Department has allowed teacher prep programs to extend student teaching placements as an exception for 1 year, or excuse me, one semester, because of the challenges that securing student teaching placements present, all of those logistics because of the pandemic. So we hear from Casey and Megan and Jenna and others, Jay, about how it's been so beneficial to have that semester long student teaching experience, but it's only because of the pandemic that's enabled that opportunity to take place. Both models are not wrong. They're both great. It's just deciding what works best down the road for teacher prep program. I think that's kind of where Dr. Ramsey and I were going with some of these questions, is trying to get to those points. Dr. Ramsey, anything? Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think that what was shared, what Ms. Brown talked about, and she did say about, you know, maybe adopt some of the parts of this program and trying something similar to that and testing it out. I believe it's something that can be looked on. So yes, absolutely.
That's great. Well, yep. I think, what do you think, Dr. Ramsey? I think we've cornered the market.
Oh man, I tell you, this was amazing. I couldn't agree more. I'm totally impressed with these students. I think they're ready. I was able to recruit a teacher. Oh man, I've done my job here, man.
First class, indeed.
I was able to recruit a teacher. I know he sees my email in the chat box, so he's gonna send me his CV.
There it is.
I'm gonna link him up.
Adam,
excuse me. That's right. That's exactly. And that's open for anyone. That's open for anyone. Exactly. So please know that there's an invitation to come out here. So thank you.
All right. Yes. Well, on behalf of New York State AFER, Dr. Ramsey, and all of our members, we'd like to thank the teacher candidates from Canisius College and SUNY Cortland today, alongside Dr. Madden and Mrs. Brown, for joining us to share their thoughts and perspectives. The session will be posted on the New York State AFID website and on the podcast channel. Stay tuned for one more session this fall from our student teachers at Canisius College, alongside other exciting episodes in the near future.
Yes, and please visit us on New York, NYA, New York's AFID.org, New York, NYSAHPERD.org, social media handles at New York State AFID, or call us at 315-823-1015 for more information. And please mark your calendars for many of our exciting events throughout the year, including our upcoming annual state conference at Turning Stone from November 18th through the 21st. And I promise you, you're going to come there and have a wonderful time, make connections, and certainly add to your repertoire of all the great things that you have happening for your students. And we could not thank you enough for this time that you spent with us today.
Well said, Dr. Ramsey. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.